Two Catholics with a PhD in common sense. We are on duty. We are 10-8. We're on service for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Queen Mother. Terry, welcome back.
I'm glad to be back, Jesse. And, you know, I look at this as all the things we're dealing with. It's just good and evil. There's a war going on. And if you don't realize that, you're losing the war. It's black and white Catholicism here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We don't look at Jesse's personal opinion, my personal opinion. We want to know what the eternal teachings of the church have been taught. We call it the perennial teachings of the church, what the Bible has to say, a world biblical view. And anything less than that, we're not interested in it. So the world, the devil, and the flesh, we have to reject. So today's topics, you know, we've got one that's, I think it's a good news story. It really is. We won a battle here, Jess, in Texas. The Biden and Planned Parenthood, you know, they go together. President Biden and Planned Parenthood have the same values.
And okay? The Satanist.
Yes. The and they're losing, again, in a legal battle to halt this Texas Heartbeat Act, and we're going to get into that. Also, this is a good friend of John Horvat. He's been on our show many times. He wrote an article called, What is God Missing? Excuse me. He says, Why is God Missing in the Economy of Francisco? Very interesting article, has very good points. Also, Mark Zuckerberg, are you kidding me? Now that's coming out, Jesse, where this half a trillion dollars came from him to affect the election for Biden? We'll talk a lot about that also. And then, Jesse, my favorite topic is a Protestant brother who is the founder of Gab, and he talks about the kingdom of God's economics, and really, it's the kingship of Christ. He doesn't use that word as a Protestant, but it's all about living your life for God, and your economics fall together. But before we do all of that, today is a great feast day of St. Luke the Evangelist. Interesting saint, and we'll get into him. But let's get some soul food first from the Bible.
St. Luke, pray for us.
Amen.
Chapter 10, verses 1 to 9, today's Holy Gospel. The Lord Jesus appointed 72 disciples whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among the wolves. Carry no money, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, Peace to this household. If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the labor deserves payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it, and say to them, The kingdom of God is at hand for you, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A lot of meat here.
Oh, yeah.
In verse 1, where it talks about he appointed 70, this is, by the way, St. Luke's second missionary tour. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he sent out the 12 before that in a similar task. Now he sends out, the Bible says, 72 disciples. This pattern, by the way, it's pretty consistent. I mean, it says 70 disciples. It says 70 in the RSV. And it says 72 in the NAB.
I noticed that too.
Yeah, I'll have to look at the Greek and what the Douay Rheims says. But what do we know about that? I would have to say that the 70 disciples from the RSV is probably the correct interpretation. Why? Because this is consistent with the pattern used by Moses. And remember, Jesus Christ is the new Moses, the second Moses. Moses commissioned 70 elders to be prophets in Israel in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verses 24 to 25. So I would probably have to go with the interpretation of 70 over 72. Also, Christ talks about, he sends them out two by two. This is a missionary practice reflected in the early church. And guess what? The Protestants use it now today. It's a Catholic practice that's used by Protestants when knocking Catholic doors. Get that. Mm-hmm. And our Lord talks about the harvest. What does the harvest mean? This is a picture of God's people ready to be gathered into the kingdom and the judgment coming upon the world. Our Lord also talks to them about don't take a purse or bag or sandals. Why is he saying this? Well, he's telling the disciples, you got to travel light and you got to travel unencumbered. In other words, trust the Lord for whatever you need. We don't need you to be carrying a lot of things around. You're not going to be able to walk from town to town if you've got a big old, you know, a 70-pound sack on your back. Mm-hmm. He also talks about, he says, salute no one. Well, what does that mean, salute no one? Is Jesus telling people to be mean? No, he's just basically saying, don't be distracted or don't be delayed, because this mission of evangelization is very urgent. So don't be, stopping and making this large, you know, irrelevant chatter with people. And he also talks about that the labor deserves his wages. And St. Paul said this in other passages as well of the New Testament, which demonstrates that ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ should be supported by the community. And this allows them to pursue their apostolic work with undivided attention. Terry, take it away.
Jesse, I got to say, praise God. I'm reading so many people just love your commentaries, Jesse, on Scripture. And I just think that Dr. Hahn had a really profound effect on you to really study the Word of God, even though you had that already. Yeah. He just confirmed it for you.
Yeah, my commentaries are basically the Steubenville side of me coming out.
I know, I can see that, brother. Yeah. People can. They're texting me about it. All right, well, let's bring the smartest guy into the room. And I've used this quote before, but, you know, we see a lot of evil in the world, Jesse. Over the weekend, I had several guys from the military call me and say that they're being relieved of their service, all the way from privates who just came into the military to Navy SEALs. Jeez. And this is really hurting our country in regards to our safety of individuals, because the bad guys are going to knock out probably a good portion, hundreds, thousands of our soldiers without firing a shot, other than giving shots out. And I think that this is a very clever way to weaken the country. Not only that, internally, all the policemen that are going to be retiring, there's 500 firemen in L.A. County, L.A. City that are leaving because they won't take the shot. We have a protest down in downtown L.A. on Wednesday that's going to be protesting all this.
There's one right now, Terry, at the Diocese of Orange. It's being headed by our Dr. Aaron Cariardi.
I know him well. He's been on our show, yeah.
And Pat Coffin. Right now they've got a big rally, a prayer rally and a protest in front of the Diocese of Orange, awesome. The Chancery office.
Yeah. See, people are speaking up, and that's what's good. And so how do we see all this? And I think Fulton Sheen's got a quote here that will help us, because we see so much evil going on. And I want to say one more thing before I give Fulton Sheen's quote. Dennis Prager, someone Jesse and I respect tremendously. He's not of our faith.
A fellow traveler.
Yes, yes. And Dennis said this today. He just was recovering from COVID, like Jesse and Anita. But Dennis Prager and his wife are recovering only because they were using medicines that were outlawed by the Biden administration. And he said something, Jesse, that blew me away. He said, President Biden is an evil man. And here's my definition of an evil man: people who are participating in killing the innocent. Hundreds of thousands of people have died, and they didn't have to, because the medicine was withheld for them. Wow. That's a serious statement. But you know what, Jess? I happen to agree with Dennis Prager.
Oh, yeah.
That this, and not only that, on that side, what about the pro-life side when it comes to unborn babies? That's an evil man who constantly is trying to stop the people defending life from conception to natural death. He describes it well. All right, here's what Bishop Sheen says about evil. The evil which God permits must not be judged by its immediate effects, but rather by its ultimate effects. So when you go to a theater, do you not walk out because you see a good man suffering in the first act? No, you give the dramatist credit for a plot. So, well, why can't we do that much with God? So in other words, don't go, oh, God doesn't love me anymore. Look at the evil that's happening in the world. I'm going to turn away and just live my, you know, the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. No! God allows us because he's given us free will. And Jesse, you and I have been seeing this over and over again, the evil that's going on, not only in the world, but even evil in the church. Look at McCarrick. That was evil.
And I'll tell you where this evil came from, Terry.
Tell me, brother.
It's communism. It's the infiltration of communism in the church. Mm-hmm. Taylor Marshall wrote a book on it. It's called Infiltration. But way before that, mm-hmm. Ballard Dodd in 1950 She was a communist plant in the Catholic Church. She converted to the Catholic faith through the auspices of Venerable Fulton Sheen.
Yep.
He encouraged her to write a book. It's a tell-all book. It's called The School of Darkness by Bella Dodd.
Yeah.
And she essentially tells us that Joseph Stalin had commissioned many young communists to come into the U.S. and infiltrate the seminaries with sexual degenerates and communists. And we're seeing it right now because she said even back in 1954, she said right now there are four cardinals in the Vatican who came up through our ranks and are communists, and they're there right now. So 1954, this was under Pope Pius XII, Terry.
Yeah.
This is how long this has been. You can see all this. There's a good conservative author who wrote about this called The Naked Communist. His name is Cleon Skyson. He wrote the book in 1958. It's got the 45 communist goals contained in the book. And we'll be talking about one of the goals as it relates to the church in the next segment.
Well said, Jess. We come back. Mr. Biden, Planned Parenthood. Yes, they're in bed together. I'm sorry, but that's what I think they are. They lost a legal battle. Yeah, to try and kill unborn babies in the state of Texas. Texas is not someone you want to mess with. Because you know what? They beat the president and Biden on this war after we come back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Yes, before we get to this next topic, someone just sent me a great article. I read it really quick over the break from the American Thinker, which I think is a good reliable source. Its title is "The Unvaccinated Are Looking Smarter Every Week." And what the article is pointing out is vaccinated people equally catch COVID-19 and they spread it equally. And so this whole article is giving out all the numbers, the documentation on it. So people who want to look at it, just go to theamericanthinker.com and it's right on their front page. But I continue to say, it seems like this whole issue of the vaccination is really just coming down to just telling us, you know, you need to do it this way, authoritarianism at its worst, because it's killing people.
Here's my problem with this China virus vax. My problem with it.
Yeah.
Is that when a government is forcing you to take medication, that sounds very, very, very strange. Think about this. In the New Testament, when our Lord Jesus Christ would heal people, he would ask them, "Do you want to be healed?" He didn't say, "Get over here. I'm going to heal you right now against your will. I'm going to force you. I don't care what you say. I'm going to heal you. Get over here." Jesus would say, "Do you want to be healed?"
That's right.
That's the way you're supposed to do it. That respects HIPAA laws and the Patient Privacy Acts. But yeah.
Got thrown out. And one more thing, Jesse, before we get to this other document, I just want to tell people, I read this over the weekend. It concerns me. President Biden said that, 2 weeks ago, that any company with 100 people or more are going to be required to have all their employees vaccinated. There's one thing that he forgot to do, Jesse, put that in writing. So it is not a law until the president puts his name on a piece of paper.
And then it becomes an unjust law, by the way.
Yes, and an unjust law, but it's still not even a law. It's just his word. So I just want people to check me out on that. Do a check fact on it. Show me the document that President Biden signed that said companies with 100 employees or more need to have all their employees vaccinated. It doesn't exist. All right, I'm done. Let's get to the Biden Planned Parenthood connection, Jess.
Yeah, Terry.
This is brutal.
This one here is called "Why Is God Missing in the Economy of Francesca?"
Oh, that's another. Okay, that's okay.
By Dr.
First.
John Horvath.
Okay.
And he's reading, Dr. Horvath is reading the encyclicals written by Pope Francis, and he says the Economy of Francesco is the name of an initiative in which he invites young economists, entrepreneurs, and change makers of the world to address the world's economic problems. Well, Terry, this is not the business of the Catholic Church, first of all. The article said, that's my comment.
Mm-hmm.
The primary vehicle for communicating this message is a multilingual website of the same name that presents the results of listening to peoples and hearts to construct a better world.
All human.
This is all horizontal, man-centered, secular, man-centered, Mason, Marxist way of thinking. Horvat writes, occasional online events and videos have also populate the site and give appearance of youthful exuberance. The economy of Francesco is like wading through a confusing mixture that seems to be a jumble of UN Commission reports, Laudate Si, his ecological manifesto, mm-hmm. the Green New Deal activism, and the Amazon Synod tribal boilerplate language. Like most of Pope Francis's listening projects, this one only takes notice of what he wants to hear. And the core of the economy of Francesco is found in a website in the Vatican, Terry, in the name of young people and the poor of the world. The website appears to be, it's made to be youthful, like a lot of young people are behind it. But it has childish overtones, and it reads like it was written by Greta Thunberg. the message on the website of the Vatican says, our times are too difficult to ask for anything but the impossible. So what's missing in this website, God is missing, okay? Notice, God is absolutely missing. The appeal delivers what seems to be the impossible, because this Vatican message that contains nothing identifying it as Catholic or even religious, in the 900-word appeal, the name of God's not mentioned at all. Yeah. Jesus, Mary, or Catholic, okay? Sin and vice are also not mentioned. The document's not even directed to the people of God, the church members, but it's directed to economists, entrepreneurs, political decision makers, workers, and citizens of the world that may be communists or atheists for all we know, or terrorists. We don't know who they are. It's not directed to Catholics. The project is all about humanity and nothing about divinity, and it's so willing to be so inclusive as to exclude God from the solution to the world's problems. This is a materialistic document that basically is based on secular materialism, and the focus is on building a better world through the economy, much like Biden's, you know, Build Back Better. The Vatican has a kind of a similar slogan today. And the project is divided into 12 little, you know, work groups. They discuss specific themes. I don't want to get into the weeds on that.
No.
But the constantly recurring theme of the economy of Francesco is the division of the world into rich and poor. That's Marxism, by the way, too. That's my comment.
And Jesse, let me just jump in we have a good friend who's been on our show, Father Sariki from the Acton Institute. If people want to see what traditional Catholicism teaches about the economy, go to the Acton Institute's website. It's just a great one. Jess, continue on the article, because there's some stuff here about the overwhelming project that is just summarizes it well.
So instead of harmonizing society, this collective document put out by the Vatican website seeks to highlight class struggle as a means of realizing social justice.
Liberation theology. Where did exactly. Pope Francis get that from? South America.
Yes. And by the way, in the Naked Communists, in the 45 communist goals, one of the goals is infiltrate the Catholic Church and replace revealed religion with social religion.
That's it.
Called liberation theology or social justice.
You got it.
And infiltrate all the Protestant denominations as well.
We call that also syncretism, Jesse, also, where one religion is as good as another. It sounds like I'm being critical, but Jesse, how else can you read this?
That's right. There's no other way to
read
it.
No other way.
So this Vatican project here, it talks about the inequality of nations is emphasized by the demand that advanced technologies, forget about God, right? Advanced technologies be shared with low-income countries. Terry, I'm floored that a pope would be behind something like this. He's talking about computers and technology and stuff with Microsoft. And
I want to get to
heaven,
Jesse.
What about Jesus? What about eternal life? What about my soul? Terry,
I'm with you.
His formation is worse than I even thought. I say this respectfully.
Absolutely.
I have no idea what he was taught as he was coming up as a priest. He sounds like he's a techie from Microsoft.
Yeah.
The document talks about sustainable production, climate justice. Where's that in the Bible? The project also criticizes economic ideologies that offend and reject the poor, the sick, minorities and disadvantaged people of all kinds. Again, there's a Marxism there, the class struggle that they're always promoting. The unnamed offender in the document is not communism, but those who seek profit in their labors.
Time out for a minute, Jesse.
Yeah. So those free market capitalists are the problem.
Yeah, you're just nailed. You took the words out of my mouth. I love Jesse when we read the same books. But here's the point, Jess. Yeah. You know, think of a Tom Monahan, who we know, who was the pizza guy from Domino's Pizza. The guy, was very successful hiring people, you know, giving them jobs so they can support their family. And here's the point. He was an entrepreneur. He was out there starting these shops, these pizzerias, and he did really well. And of course, he wasn't anything about unbridled capitalism. Are you kidding me? He paid a wage to those people, had benefits, and that was how it worked. I mean, that's, to me, a hero. When was the last time you had a poor person give you a job? We need people like him starting jobs, starting businesses, because that's how people can get jobs and provide for their family. I think he's forgotten the aspect of capitalism. It's pulled more people out of poverty than any other system in the world. That's just a fact, Jess. Now I'm done.
Yeah, Terry, by the way, Adam Smith, he's a Scottish economist back in the 17th century.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people say that he's the one that started free market capitalism. Yeah. Wrong. 500 years before Adam Smith, you had the monks in Europe, specifically the Cistercian monks, that were teaching people how to make food in their farm and how to set up a shop and retail it and sell it.
Yeah.
And so the Cistercian monks and the monks in general, 500 years before the Protestant Scottish economist Adam Smith, they were already teaching free market capitalism. But it was, again, it was bridled with gospel principles, paying people a living wage and don't gouge people when they're buying your retail products.
Jesse, have you ever seen anybody put the first dollar in their business? A small businessman, he frames the first check or the first dollar.
You've seen
that.
Probably did the same thing.
I did the same thing, too. Have you ever seen anybody who gets an entitlement check frame it?
Never.
Why?
Good point. Wow. Yeah, because it was given to them freely, and people don't really
dignity.
There's no dignity. They have, like, it doesn't mean anything. But for somebody who's worked it with, as the Bible says, with the sweat of his brow, it means everything to them. Yeah. They're saying, "I finally made it, the American dream. I'm going to make it. I'm going to be able to support my family."
Yeah,
Terry, this document is a social justice document. It's an ecological document. Oh, yeah. It talks about sustainability.
What about universal call to holiness? What happened to this? We said that with the supernatural. Holy Father, please confirm us in our faith. We don't want our religion to be a secular religion. We want a supernatural religion that talks about getting to heaven. I'm sorry. That's it.
Yeah, Terry, he talks in this document. The war is not against the wages of sin.
Right.
The war is against systemic causes, inequality, poverty, economic vulnerability, and endangering peace. I'll tell you where this all comes from. There was another Protestant philosopher and a political theorist who hated the Catholic Church, Jean-Jacques Rousseau.
Yes.
He talked about in his political writings, he talked about becoming agents of change, anarchists becoming agents of change. Well, guess what? If you look at, for example, my kids went to Bishop Alemany High School. My other kid went to Crespi High School. But the ones that went to Alemany, I looked at the manual years ago, and it said Bishop Alemany High School under the Archdiocese of Los Angeles wants to make our students agents of change. I didn't know what that was 20 years ago when they were going to high school. But now I find out that it was an Enlightenment liberal, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, a French Enlightenment liberal. He's the one that inserted, we've got to make people agents of change to implement social justice. That's all over our Catholic high schools right now, Terry.
Yeah, yeah, well said. Jesse, I want to give a little plug. We just got it confirmed again, and you're coming out in January for the Spiritual Warfare
on the MC
Conference.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's going to be the 28th, 29th. And 30th of January 2022. We're just going to put that on our website today. Those who want to register for it, I suggest you go early because Father Chad Ripperger is coming. Kyle and Dan, their whole team's coming out, and it's going to be our best ever.
It's going to be the mother of all spiritual warfare conferences.
Yeah. Go to bmpr.org. It'll be on there this week, and you can register for that. We'll come right back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Don't let that pretty boy face of Mark Zuckerberg fool you. He's one of the most evil mans on planet Earth.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay? Evil comes in all sizes and shapes and colors and age ranges. He's a young, relatively young guy.
Yep.
If you want to know how sleepy Joe Biden is sitting in the office of the Oval Office right now. Well, this is how it happened. Mark Zuckerberg bought the 2020 election for Biden with staggering funding.
Yeah, almost $500 billion.
Yeah, we call this the injection of structural bias into the 2020 election. And our analysis shows that it likely generated enough votes for Biden to secure an electoral college victory in 2020. They especially really, really concentrated on those states where they knew Trump was going to win, like Arizona being one of them. They dumped all kinds of money here. So again, I'm going to say it again, in case you're just tuning in. I'm going to repeat this again. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg bought the 2020 election with hundreds of millions of dollars in funding that likely handed the White House to Joe Biden's last year. In a report that was published this week by The Federalist, researcher William Doyle said the new research shows that election funding funneled by Zuckerberg and his wife through two nonprofits significantly increased Joe Biden's vote margin in key swing states. Zuckerberg's two nonprofits, here's what they're called.
Yeah.
The Center for Technology and Civic Life, sounds like really nice, like real Christian,
I know,
right?
It's funny.
And the other one, and the Center for Election Innovation and Research, okay? Both are owned by Zuckerberg. He passed $419.5 million of his money through those nonprofits into local government election offices. And the massive influx of this money essentially created a high-powered concierge like get out the vote effort for Biden that took place inside the election system rather than attempting to influence it from the outside. And this researcher, William Doyle from The Federalist, he says that we call this injection of structural bias into the 2020 election. And our analysis shows it likely generated, again, enough votes for Biden to secure an electoral victory in 2020. They used a machine learning algorithm.
Yep.
And they estimated that Facebook's founders' spending increased Biden's vote total by about 200,000 votes in Texas alone.
Amazing.
Okay? So the grant money from Zuckerberg, from the Center for Technology and Civic Life and Center for Election Innovation Research, his two nonprofits, push Biden over the top in other swing states as well. Just again, like the six that were contested. So our preliminary results in Georgia and Wisconsin suggest a similar impact on Biden's vote margin from these nonprofits, from Zuckerberg's nonprofits. And spending in those states was likely large enough and targeted enough to have Biden to have shifted into Biden's column. So Joe Biden was certified the winner of Georgia presidential election by just 11,000 votes and a Wisconsin election by around 20,000 votes. So again, this guy's done a bang up job. This researcher from The Federalist, William Doyle, he works also for an institute called Caesar Rodney Election Research Institute. I won't repeat it again because it's too long of a name. But he says, we have good reason to anticipate that the results of our work will show that Zuckerberg's two nonprofits' involvement in the 2020 election gave rise to an election, while free was not fair. Terry?
Jesse, I want to just mention, we know big tech is censoring a lot of this conservative. You know, we know that. And this is what happened in the election. You Google President Trump's name. We know all this. It's all coming out now. Not a lot we can do about it, except next time, be aware of it and try to expose it early so that the American people will know this, because most people have no idea that this was going on, you know, under the covers, so to speak. And the thing that blows me away about all this is $500 million was spent by one man. Can you imagine following the money? What do you think he's getting back right now in this past 9 months? Jesse, you know darn well the administration right now is giving him a payback for what he did. And this is called politics. And here's the point I want to make. Before we didn't have a politician 4 years ago. We had a businessman who brought America to its highest level of working. The unemployment rate was the lowest in 50-some years. People were working. We were happy. And now we have, again, a politician. And look at what's happening to America right now. Right before our eyes, Jesse, I'm on the West Coast. There's lots of ships out there, cargo ships, waiting to unload all their cargo. And there's one reason why they can't unload it. I just found this out over the weekend. I clearly demonstrate what it is. The Biden administration, not Trump, put a new regulation in. Any truck driver that's going to pick up any of those cargoes, their truck has to be 2 years or newer, old. So only 2 years old or newer.
Unbelievable.
And what that did is it took all the truck drivers who had older vehicles, so now there's a shortage of trucks to unload the cargo ships, and that's all on the Biden administration's time. So when people, when you can't get your Christmas gifts or you can't get food or refrigerators are backed up, you can thank Mr. Biden's administration. See, that's the difference between, Jesse, a politician running the country and a businessman.
Terry, but this is also, if you can see, this is why the Democrat Party has a branch in the party now.
Of course.
It's called the DSA, the Democrat Socialist of America.
Yes.
So what's the definition of socialism? You're seeing it right now. It's government ownership and government control of all means of production. Let me repeat that again so that you memorize this forever.
Mm-hmm.
What is the definition of socialism? You're seeing it right now in America. It's government ownership and government control of all means of production. One more time. I have to repeat it three times. Mm-hmm. Like we say in the, you know, holy, 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 the angels say to God.
Yeah.
So you memorize this. Socialism is government ownership and government control of all means of production.
Yep.
This is exactly what we're seeing. And Terry, and I'll tell you what's very painful
to me
is when you see what's happening over in the Vatican with the economy of Francesco that we talked about with Pope Francis, that we talked about the last segment. This is completely lined up with socialism.
Well, there's collaboration going on.
Yeah, his economic view lines up not with Christianity, Terry, but with socialism.
Just the facts, Jesse. And it hurts me to have to say that, Jesse.
Of course it does.
I'm embarrassed to say this. I know it's embarrassing, but you see, the point of it is the church's role is not to give us heaven on earth. No, the church's role is to get us to heaven. And I get frustrated when I see that the church is bringing in pro-abortion people into meetings, secular people who have no idea about Christ, and they're going to teach us something about getting to heaven?
Terry, also one more thing I'm going to say. Taylor Marshall did a good video on Nancy Pelosi and Pope Francis shaking hands.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then the handshake looked kind of strange to me. Because I'd never seen a handshake like that.
Yeah.
And then Taylor Marshall put a chart right next to them, and it showed the Masonic handshakes.
That was very disappointing.
And when I saw that, now, if I was a juror, if I was sitting in a jury box, remember, in a jury, you only have to have enough evidence based upon a reasonable doubt. That's the standard. Is there a reasonable doubt? If I would have sat in a jury and I would have said, okay, cover their faces. These two people are shaking hands.
Yeah.
Here's the Masonic chart of handshakes. I, as a juror, would have said, I'm reasonably certain that was a Masonic handshake. I vote guilty.
Yeah.
Take the faces away from them.
Just looking
at the actions and the chart.
Yeah.
Terry, that's where we're at right now.
It was very disturbing. And you know what, Jesse, you said earlier in the show about Bella Don and how Freemasonry has infiltrated the church. I hate to say it, but the facts reveal that it has. And that's why.
Terry, you know who warned us about that was St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Oh, yeah.
He was the prophet against the Masons and the Marxists, and he was warning us that they're coming into the church.
Yeah, he did.
St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us.
Just to give what Jesse's referring to, in 1917, when St. Maximilian Kolbe started the Knights of the Immaculata, which I'm a member of, He was seeing in Rome as a seminarian the protesters of the Freemasons protesting in front of St. Peter's Square. And you know how we have the Blessed Mother crushing the head of Satan? Yes. They reversed it up there, okay? They put the Blessed Mother's head down and Satan crushing the Blessed Mother. And so it really upset him. And he said, man, how are we going to fight this spiritual war? So he started the Knights of the Immaculata, having people entrust themselves to Our Lady to fight Freemasonry. And just one more quick note, I've mentioned this. I was joining the Franciscan back in 1979. And in my formation, they were talking about Freemasonry. And they said that in the prayer we used to say, we pray for enemies of Holy Church, especially the Freemasons. When I first got into the monastery there, we used to pray that. And then we were told, no, we're not going to say that. And so I raised my hand and I said, why aren't we going to say we're praying for the... St. Maximilian Kolbe said, pray for the Freemasons. He said, well, we were told that we have to remove that. That was 1979. Just that bothered me as a young person. I said, why are we acquiescing? Why are we, you know, going along with the... somebody high in the church is a Mason and doesn't want us to be mentioning this. And so I bring this up because... this is 45 years ago, Jesse, when I was that young, and I saw that about Freemasonry. So I really am, you know, we have to pray, we have to sacrifice, make reparation for the sins inside our church, the McCarricks. That's why on Thursday nights, we're here at our chapel before our Eucharistic King, praying on our knees to pray for the church to confirm us in our faith and not talk so much about worldliness and how we're going to save planet Earth. I want to be able to say, at least everybody I know, we want to get to heaven. We want to save our souls. Because if souls are saved, everything is saved. If souls aren't saved, nothing is saved.
Terry, I'm thankful to these watchdog groups like the Federalists and Amistad Project that have basically pulled back the curtain on Zuckerberg. That Zuckerberg basically set up a shadow election system with a lot of money that he was dumping into his two nonprofits. $47 was spent for each Democrat voter. $4 to $7 was spent for each Republican voter around the country. That's why Biden's in office.
Yeah, it's all about money, isn't it? And that's what did the Bible say? The root of evil.
The root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil.
There's a good example of it, brother. We'll be back with more of the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Stay with us, man.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Our Lady of the Holy Rosary, pray for us. Remember, this is the month of the Holy Rosary. Terry, there's a fellow traveler by the name of Andrew Torba. I'm almost positive he's an evangelical Christian.
He is, that's what I read. Yeah.
Okay. I've heard some people say he's a Catholic. I haven't found that.
I have not evidenced that.
He's definitely a fellow traveler.
He loves Jesus.
Oh, man. I like the way he ends his emails. He'll write at the end of it. It says, only Jesus saves on the bottom of his email. He's a young guy, and he's talking something that probably a lot of people should pay attention to. We should set up a parallel society. In other words, we've let the pagans take everything over.
Yep.
And we've just been busy, you know, going to church, raising our families, mm-hmm. trying to do the right thing, going to work.
Yes.
And the pagans have basically set up the city of man all around us. So Andrew Torba uses Augustine language here. He says, I'm learning new skills. Carpentry, to get away from the much-needed time, away from the chaos of our fallen world and the city of man. See, he's taking Catholic terminology there.
Mm-hmm.
He says, people ask me how I find time to do things, you know, like carpentry and while running Gab and raising two young kids. The answer's simple. I don't watch TV. I don't use Facebook. I don't follow any sports or celebrity gossip.
That'll do it.
Guess what? Check everything. I don't watch Hollywood movies. Check that box off. So far, I'm tracking with him. He says, I spend as much time as possible living in the city of God and fleeing from the city of man.
Amen.
Check. That's what I try to do as well. Again, he's a fellow traveler.
Yep.
He says, it's astonishing how much time you have when you remove the things of the world from your life.
Yep.
I spend several hours every week outside going for walks, photographing the beauty of God's creation, and every dad's favorite pastime, mowing the lawn. Something remarkable happens when you exit the city of man. In other words, he's saying you got to disconnect.
Living in the presence of God. That's
yes.
what man's doing.
Yeah. And start living in the city of God.
Yep.
The city of man is a society that not only rejects God, it is anti-God by design.
Yep.
In the city of man, there's no objective truth, only feelings. There's chaos, division, hate, fear, sorrow, and sin. Living in the city of God starts with having a Christ first kingdom oriented mindset, or like Terry's always saying, a biblical worldview.
Yep.
When Christ is the cornerstone of every aspect of your life, making the shift away from the city of man becomes rather straightforward. Just ask yourself some simple questions.
Great questions.
Go ahead, Terry, ask.
No, these are great. I love what he says. He says, how does worshiping at church of the NFL instead of your actual church on Sunday glorify God? Check one. Number two.
Look at the top one. You missed the top one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed. What does binge watching Netflix all night accomplish for this kingdom of God? I mean, how many people say, I had to watch this series on and I just went all night long watching it? It doesn't, you see, but that's what's grabbing us. That's taking us away from God. He says, and Jesse, you said this the other day, last month. Does watching Fox News for 5 hours a night after work really help you get closer to God? Of course not. Read your Bible, pray your rosary, visit, you know, the things that we've been saying. You all know the answers, he says. Yet many Christians fall into the pit of the enemy's hands by dedicating all of their time and attention and money to the city of man. Boy, I would love to have the guys in Rome read this letter, Jesse. It would be here, our Protestant brother giving us some sound advice about following
Jesus. It's Catholic advice. You talk about city of God and city of man.
Yes, Augustine.
Yes.
Keep going, Jess. This is good stuff.
He says, if we're going to survive the rise of global communism, we need to start building for the kingdom and power and the glory of Jesus
Christ, our King. Amen, brother.
By the way, and that comes from the Didache, that phrase right there. He
biblical.
Took that from the Didache, too.
Of course.
Okay. He says, we need kingdom economics. Where are Christians spending their money? Where are Christians spending their time? In the city of man. How do we change this? If we unite and work together to lay the foundation for a parallel society, we can simultaneously build the fastest, largest growing kingdom economy this side of heaven while toppling the city of man by refusing to live in it any longer.
Amen, brother.
In other words, Terry, things like the Hobby Lobbies,
exactly.
Christian Run, the In-N-Outs, Christian Run, Chick-fil-A, Christian
Run. Take them all over.
That's what he's talking about.
Yeah, and support these groups.
And support them, yeah. The point of kingdom economics isn't only to support Christian businesses exclusively, although I won't complain if you choose to do so, but rather it's about making a conscious effort to support Christian-owned businesses first. In doing so, you are the kingdom building for Christ and his church. We need to unite and help one another, buy things from one another, communicate with one another, love one another. We need to make a strong and dedicated effort to keep the majority of our time, money, and data with our brothers and sisters in Christ and start building for the kingdom. That's another thing, Terry, Catholic health share for young families.
Yeah.
What's it called? Health share. We promote it. It's a friend of ours. He's on.
Yeah, we know. His name is Han.
Yes. Again, these are good things that are happening to build up the kingdom, a parallel kingdom, as Andrew Torber's saying. Finally, he says, when we do, the entire city of man will collapse on itself into a pit of ash.
Sure will.
We are the backbone of their economy.
Yep.
We need to stop propping up the demonic system with God's resources. Everything we have belongs to God. We are shamefully using what God has mercifully provided us with to fund, support, and live in the city of man. It needs to stop.
That's right.
I know things seem dark right now, but from my point of view, I can see the light of God working in a big way. I've been on the phone all week with many Christian business owners and entrepreneurs who are rising up right now.
Praise God.
Parallel Christian healthcare services, insurance, banking, homeschooling services and resources, and so much more. Our God is the living God, and he's on the move. His people are answering the call to build, protect, and preserve what is good and holy together. Keep the faith, brothers and sisters, and do well to live in the city of God and flee from the city of man. To God be the glory in land ad majorem Dei gloriam. Andrew Torba.
And you know, that's great advice. And Jesse, we've been telling people here in California, if you're a family man, get out of the state of California. No, seriously. And I would say
if you're a young family man, if you're older, like Terry, stay there and fight.
Oh, no, I'm going to stay.
Especially if your house is paid off and stuff. Stay and you're not working where you can't get fired. Yeah. You're retired. Stay there and fight.
Yeah,
but you youngsters,
fight.
youngsters need to get somewhere safe for the kids.
But I'm going to also say if you live in a big city, big cities have their own obstacles of holiness.
Absolutely.
So, a couple of my
don't
kids
go
are
to the big city.
Out in the middle of nowhere. know, and that's where
I think. Go to the suburbs.
Exactly.
Suburbs.
Yep. Get out of the big city because of that. But I want to say that this gentleman from Gab.com, support Gab.com, support his business. But his advice was just biblical advice, Jesse. All through his letter, it wasn't his opinion. He was just giving good biblical truths about following Christ. And
he's a young man with a good head on his shoulders, Terry.
We need more guys like that.
Yep, and they're coming up. Thanks be to God. God is raising up a new generation of young men and women. They're just, you know, again, some of them are Catholic, some are not. They're Protestant, like the Candace Owens, the Lila Rose.
Yeah,
you know. Then you got you know good Catholic guys like the guy from Project Veritas. What's his name?
David Delayden.
David Delayden. No, Project Veritas is another guy. He's a good Catholic. And then you got good Protestants, Charlie Kirk.
And you got Lila Rose, you know.
Yeah, good, even good Jewish guys. Terry,
Jesse.
What's his name?
We got a
Ben
couple.
Shapiro.
Yeah, Ben Shapiro. We got a couple minutes, and we just got it nailed down for the Spiritual Warfare Conference. You made a strong statement about this year's.
It's going to be the mother of all spiritual warfare conferences, and hopefully this relationship will last for. Yeah. Years and years. I think it will, because I'm very well connected with Father Ripperger's, his top men. Father Ripperger has two lieutenants right and left of him. It's Kyle Clement and it's Dr. Dan Schneider. They're both on his team. And Kyle Clement is the case facilitator. We're bringing them out, and we're going to resurrect Liber Christi. We're going to resurrect the Wednesday program for college.
Yeah.
On Wednesdays, it'll be a three-person show, myself, Kyle Clement, and Dr. Dan Schneider, with Father Ripperger doing a lot of guest appearances as well. So we're going to resurrect the Wednesday show. This is the beginning of it right here. And what we're going to do is, with this conference, hopefully it could be an annual conference, it will be the mother of all conferences, Terry, because I'll tell you something. As I travel around the country, like this weekend, I met two exorcists, one from Michigan, one from Atlanta, Georgia. Every single one of them, and last week I was with another exorcist at another conference from another diocese. Every single one of them tells me that the top of the food chain right now in the world, when it comes to angels and demons and spiritual warfare, is Father Chad Ripperger. He's the one that's coming to the chapel.
Wow.
We have him. And it looks as, hopefully, Kyle Clement basically speaks for him. He schedules him. Kyle says, I think we could do this every year, Jess. I think we could work on doing this an annual thing.
Good.
And so, once again, I want to resurrect the show with Kyle and Dan together on Wednesday. So we're working on that. We're also working on an institute called Liber Christi. And who knows? You know, Sacred Heart Chapel may just be the hard camp to train people.
Yeah,
there's a lot of good things that we're talking about right now. Myself, Kyle Clement, and Dan Schneider.
Well, mark your date, 29th and 30th. That's the weekend of January 29th and 30th. That's 2022. Put it on your calendar. We're going to have it up on our website soon, where people can register for that event. And like Jess said, it's going to be our best spiritual warfare conference. We're holding it over at the St. Joseph's Church in their auditorium in Pomona, California. One of their pastors there, Father Stephen, who's former pastor of Jesse, was gracious enough to allow us to use his large auditorium for this conference. And if you want to register, you know, you can always call us 877-526-2151. Jesse, what's your role there? What are you going to be doing at this conference, brother?
Terry, man, I'm going to be the water boy, Terry.
I love it.
I am going to be the MC.
I love it, Jess.
Since, you know, I have a personal relationship with all three of them. I've known all of them for several years. And it's funny because compared to them, they're like the A-team of the Catholic Church, okay? They're like, you know, they're like the A-team. Yep. I'm like the B-team. But they've taken a liking to me because they see that I'm talking about this week in and week out all over the country at conferences.
Yes.
And so all three of them have basically taken me under their wing just to make sure that my doctrine is sound. Like, remember when Paul went to Jerusalem and he went to Peter and he goes, I'm coming to you to check out, to make sure with you Jerusalem elders, Peter, James, and John, to make sure that my doctrine is sound. So those three have basically taken me under their wing because they said you're more the face of us because you're out there so much. So we want to make sure that your teaching is absolutely monastic and precise and Catholic.
I love it. Mark your calendars, the 28th, 29th, and 30th of January 2022. It's coming up, the Spiritual Warfare Conference with Father Chad Ripperker and Kyle and Dan and Jesse, and I'll be there. We're just going to have a great weekend there. And space is limited, so you might want to register quickly. Call 877-526-2151. And again, we want to thank all of our listeners. Go to CatholicRC.org. You can get some downloads there. Don't forget our YouTube channel for a full Sheen Ahead, promoting Bishop Sheen's writings. We always want to do that here. And what's our goal, Jess? To get people to heaven. So I asked Jesse this question. What state should we be living in, Jess?
State of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. Be holy or die trying. Life is short. Eternity is forever.
Amen, brother. Thanks again for joining us here on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God bless you.